Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Friday, June the 30th, 2017. The time is 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Welcome to another episode of Real Talkers for Real People with Brother Kevin Dundeal Harrison on the Voice to Be Heard broadcast. Whatever God has for me is a done deal. Whatever God declared me to be is a done deal. Whatever God has chosen me to fulfill is a done deal. There is no challenge or question, just a done deal. Again, today, Lynette will continue her series, Setting the Captives Free. When times are hard, there is hope. Today, Lynette is going over part three, Come On Out. No further delay. Let me turn it over to Lynette as she opens us up in prayer. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we give you all glory and honor and praise, and we lift you up, oh God. We lift up everyone who shall hear this message. We pray, Father, that your word will fall on fertile ground and that it will bring forth fruit to your glory, to your honor, and to your praise. In Jesus' name, have your way. Amen. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for tuning in today. If you should hear this broadcast through the recorded broadcast, if you're not listening live, welcome and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast. We've been on a series of when things seem hard, there is hope. Because oftentimes you just want to know that you're coming out of this. You just want to know that there's a future. You just want to know this is not my end. This is not all that is for me. My life, you know, is this all that my life amounts to be? Is this it? So, you know, in the scheme of things, we really just want to know that we're going to make it, that there is hope, and we want to have an expectation. So that's what this broadcast encompasses. So this week, the title of our broadcast this week, the third part of this series, is Come On Out. It's very simple. Come on out. Our memory text scripture is Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. And it reads, this is where Jesus, where the Lord speaks through the prophet Isaiah about the coming Messiah, or the Christ, and what he will come to do. His entire function in terms of setting people free. So Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3 reads, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Amen. So, today, we're going to be going over that third verse, the first half, and then next week we'll finish the entire series with the second half. And the first half being, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So we're going to go over that right now, today. So, the thing about the Lord, what I noticed here in this verse of scripture, just three verses alone, is that the Lord speaks four times about mourning, M-O-U-R-I-N-G, mourning, and in some regard or detail about heaviness. Heaviness is still associated with mourning. It's like there's twins, one, you know, they're opposite sides of the same coin. And so have you ever wondered why one moment you were feeling fine and then the next moment you were feeling weighed down, your peace was disturbed, you were worried and anxious, you were full of fear and apprehension about the unknown or future events, things that haven't even happened, and you're just feeling a weight, a burden for some unknown thing. So this will be constituted to the spirit of heaviness and in some degree mourning. Jesus, let me just tell you this, Jesus came to set the captives free. So come on out. He came to set, come on out. Today, we will discuss, as I said, this verse, and I want you to notice that the word mourn is mentioned in one shape or fashion four different times. First time it's mentioned is to comfort all that mourn in verse 2. The second time it's mentioned to appoint to them that mourn in Zion in verse 3. The third time it's mentioned the oil of joy for mourning in verse 3. And the fourth time it's mentioned is in the spirit of heaviness in verse 3 also. The word mourn means to grieve. It means to lament or to have or express sorrow. The word mourn means to grieve, to lament. Lament means to cry, to languish, you know, to be in anguish of soul, spirit, or to have or express sorrow. It can even denote regret. Mourning can be manifested through fear, anxieties, which is fear, depression, which again is fear. So fear can show up in many different types of ways. All fear can also show up as anger, overaggression, and double-mindedness. A characteristic of a person in mourning is unstableness. A person that is mourning or grieving or is in sorrow or anguishing of spirit, languishing of spirit, is unstable. When people are experiencing grief and sorrow, whether through a life being taken or life-death situation, or they are not at their best to make decisions, especially major decisions. Their emotions are high and unregulated. It is best when experiencing any type of grief to put off making any major decisions until you have regulated your emotions to see clear enough to make a conscientious and informed decision about any matter. So this is where the enemy thrives, because if he can keep us uncentered and unfocused and variable, okay, and that's by whatever works. For some people, it's going to be their struggle is going to be to overcome their emotions. It's all about, look at verse here where it starts off in our memory text in Isaiah 61. He says, Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has sent me He has sent me to preach good tidings to the meek. That word meek means self-control. It means discipline. A meek person is a person that disciplines themselves, that keep their body disciplined, temperate. Meekness is a person who is disciplined. So what is the Lord saying? He said the Messiah is coming to preach good tidings to the meek. So in other words, if the enemy can keep us from being self-disciplined in different areas of our life, then he can control through our emotions, then he can control our level of freedom, because our level of freedom will be reduced because we're not stable. That's why the book of James, the Apostle James spoke. He said, a double-minded man, the Holy Spirit through him rather said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. And so the enemy's number one goal is to keep us, to make sure that we're not rooted and grounded. And so that's what Jesus is speaking about in Matthew 13 when he's talking about parable of the sower. He's really talking about different stages of spiritual growth and development, maturity. And so it's about the enemy trying to keep us from getting deeply rooted and grounded, and that word getting really deeply rooted and grounded in us so that we have foundation on that rock, that we're solidified in that rock, that we can't and will not be moved about with every wind of doctrine. We won't be moved about because things are happening that we can't control. We won't get moved about because we're feeling some kind of way. We won't allow a spirit of burden to fall upon us because we understand what the Word of God says. And we take that as our refuge, as our weapon even, because that is what it is. So never make decisions, especially major decisions, when you experience grief, when you're experiencing moments of heaviness and burden, when your emotions are not sober, when you're not clear. Never make major decisions. You'll get yourself into something that you really can't get out of or probably don't want to be in. So let's look at our text. So he comes to appoint to them that mourn in Zion to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. To appoint means that something is being designated or assigned. So in other words, the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, is telling his people, Israel, that mourn, that people that mourn in Israel, that he has a special assignment or role for them, a favor. He's speaking his favor. Isn't that wonderful? Then he tells what his favor will give or designate, appoint, what role that his favor will play in their lives. First of all, he said beauty for ashes. Now understand that ashes are the remains of dead things. Only dead things have ashes. Amen? When our body decomposes, when we die, when our physical body dies and our spirit leaves our body, guess what? Our body will automatically begin to decompose and decompose to the point that it becomes dust, ashes. All it will be when we turn back to the ground from whence it came. Amen. So understand that ashes are the remains of dead things. Beauty, on the other hand, symbolizes things that are alive and living. Beauty symbolizes things that are alive and living. In other words, the Lord is telling his people that he will bring them back to life. Isn't that awesome? He's telling his people that instead of ashes, I'm giving you beauty. I'm making you alive. I'm quickening you. I'm quickening that which is stagnant in you. That which is I'm quickening and bringing back to life that which is dead in you. I'm awakening. I'm reawakening that which is sleep or slumbered in you. I don't know about you, but I need God to resurrect me and some things in my life. Thank you, Jesus. For all of joy is necessary to keep us pliable and lubricated as we journey this life. Without the oil of joy, we will become bitter through life circumstances. The oil of joy, understand this, is a choice. To be thankful in Christ for who he is a choice to be, the oil of joy is a choice to be thankful in Christ for who he is and to see things his way. And that's regarding your life, your situation, your circumstances. You see things through his eyes and not your own. Therefore, you rejoice because in him you are victorious and triumph over every work of the enemy. It doesn't matter what your situation is speaking. What matters is what he says, in other words. So you take delight in that. You rejoice. That means you have joy again and again. It's a continual thing. You choose to. So it's a thanksgiving, giving thanks. Amen. This is the scripture that teaches that, and that's Philippians 4:4, where it says, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. So the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is teaching the Philippian church to rejoice in Christ, to rejoice in him. He is their joy. He is our joy. He is our peace. He is our rest. He is our sanctification. He is our righteousness. He is our love. He is our peace. I could go on and on and on. It's in him. All the blessings are through Christ. They're in him. He is the fullness. So don't look at your outward circumstances. Don't look at your outward situation. Don't even look at yourself, because you within yourself do not have the power or the ability to change anything. Amen? So the oil of joy rewinds God's promises. The oil of joy rewinds God's perspective in our minds and not our present condition. Again, our Heavenly Father gives this instead of mourning. He doesn't give mourning. Mourning doesn't come from him. Mourning, regret, depression, fear, anxiety, hopelessness, pain, sorrow, grief, etc. It's a new day. Choose to come out of darkness. It's a new day, and it's your choice. This is what the Lord is speaking through his prophet Isaiah. He's telling them it's a new day. And this is what the Lord is saying to us. It's a new day. It's the appointed time. It is a designated time. It is the time of his arrival is now. It's always now. Amen. It's the appointed day. Lastly, the Lord has given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Notice that the counter opposite exists. What is the counter opposite? He said, all of joy for what? Mourning. The counter opposite of joy is mourning. You can't be rejoicing in the Lord if you're sad and sorrowful and crying and lamenting, can you? So that mourning is an enemy. It's not a friend. It didn't come to give you anything wholesome or righteous. It came to take away your peace. It came to take away your joy. It came to take away your thanksgiving to God. It came to take away your vision. It came to take away something from you that God put in you. Notice that the counter opposite exists. The first thing to receiving God's favor can stop denying the truth. When a person denies the truth, they stay in darkness because they simply refuse the light. Jesus said in Matthew 6:23, if your whole eye be evil, then your whole body will be full of darkness. He said, but then if that light be in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? That just seems all counter oxymoronic. You know, how is that light that's in me going to be darkness? if the light or the revelation that you have in you, that you have, that revelation still will be in darkness because your eye, your heart is still wicked. Right? So how we see things, our heart. So don't deny truth. Truth is just that, truth, and it will stand. Once you release the truth, it stands on its own. It doesn't need any more support. It will stand. So don't deny the truth. Accept the truth, and then you can get healing. Then you can get deliverance. Then you can get help. Right? The Lord describes praise as a garment. A garment is an article of clothing that covers, that protects, that shields nakedness, vulnerabilities, and hidden secret sensitive areas that are not for everyone to see. That's what a garment is. It's clothing. It's covering. It protects our vulnerable parts. It protects our secret parts, our comely parts, as the Bible puts it. You must choose to put on praise. Then, if it's a garment is worn. We have different types of garments. We have pants. We have dresses. We have skirts, right? We have different material. We have different we have different styles, different colors. We have jackets to go with it. We have different accessories. But really, there's only a shirt or a blouse for a woman. There's only pants, skirt, or dress. That's it. Now, we change it around to make it look differently, but that's what it is. They are garments. So you must choose to put on praise. So, in other words, the Lord is saying that when the spirit of heaviness comes, he has given the garment of praise as a weapon to destroy that spirit. Conversely, the spirit of heaviness can fall upon a person like a blanket. It can lay upon a person. It can just fall. It brings burdens, hopelessness, fears, torment, depression, emotional stress. Really about things you can't even control. You're feeling fine. But now, all of a sudden, you're burdened and weighed down. What's wrong with you? I don't know. I just feel some kind of way. I just feel like something ain't right. See, that's a package that you shouldn't accept. You don't have to accept that because that's not of God. All the person can see that is experiencing a spirit of heaviness is their present condition at this point. Once it lays on a person, the spirit of heaviness, all they can see is their present condition and how they're hopeless to get out of it. They can't see anything else. They see no hope. They see no way out. An example of someone with the spirit of heaviness is King Saul, the first king of Israel. After the kingdom was stripped from him, he began to be tormented by an evil spirit. That begins in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Fear has levels. The first level, of course, is anxiety and depression, worry. The second level is oppression. Oppression is the torment of demonic spirits who at will torment a person over and over again with fear of something. It is a continuous terror that the person is helpless to get away from by their own power or resistance. The third level is stronghold. It is the prison of torment and terror that has the person. The person, to some degree, is powerless to control impulsive and compulsive behaviors. The fear controls them. This is why God is very clear about fear. For fear has torment. That's in 1 John 4:18. Fear is not of God. He never comes with the message of fear. When you study it out, study and see when God sent the angels, the first thing they would say is, fear not. You knew you were fear. You're seeing an angel, a celestial being. you're seeing, and okay. And they're, I'm told, a greater in height and mass than we are. So, yeah, you would fear if you saw one. But the first thing they say is, fear not. Because they don't want, because God don't want you to fear or be afraid of him in that sense. Because he didn't come to fear you or torment you. He came to give you life. King Saul was a tormented, oppressed man after the Spirit of God lifted off of him. He literally went crazy and lost his mind. We can see this with how he treated people around him and also by how he treated his replacement, David, by trying to kill him. This is the ultimate goal of the enemy, to strip you of your sober, peaceful mind through fear, torment, and oppression. God has already provided for you whatever you need through the person of Christ. He has not appointed his people for wrath, fear, torment, or oppression, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's Romans 4:17. This is the kingdom of God, and it is your heavenly Father's good will to give you the kingdom. This is a good pleasure. Come on out, saints. Jesus has already set you free. You know, one of the things they show on when they're training the animal. We watched this movie called, I believe it's called Primal Fear. And it was an old movie with Cuba Gooding Jr. And he played some type of psychiatrist. Anyway, the guy that played in it was played in Silence of the Lambs. Hopkins. And anyway, so Cuba was talking all flippant with his academics. And so Hopkins' character was sharing with him about, you know, it was a scene with the gorilla. And the gorilla was sitting in the cage. Door was wide open. He didn't make a move to leave. All he had to do was walk through the door, and freedom was on the other side of that door. But because his spirit was broken through bondage, he didn't even make a move because he had gotten content with bondage. Don't let that be you. It was called instinct. I'm sorry, not primacy. It's called instinct. Don't let that be you. Jesus is the door. He has opened up and has freed every captive. Don't stay on the other side in bondage. Okay. Step out of that cage and come on out. Jesus came to set the captives free. You're already free. All you have to do is walk through the door. God bless you. I thank you for listening to today's message. And Heavenly Father, I just give you all glory. And I thank you that this message will fall on fertile ground with our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.